Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
We are going through a series entitled Position Yourself for Greatness. And in doing so, we've got to honor the things that work, and we honor the I wills. We're honoring the I wills. So today is honor your talents, which means that we need to take initiative. We all have talents, but we've got to honor the gift God has given us, the talents God has given us. And so, folks, honoring one's talent means fostering the ability to seize every opportunity, to grasp every moment, to work diligently, to work with expediency, and to use our time wisely. If we're going to honor the talents God has given us, then we have to grasp the moment, seize the moment, work diligently. There's no time for slackness. And work with expediency because Christ is coming, but use our time wisely. And people who take the initiative in situations are the first person to act wisely, and therefore they're able to control the situation. When you take the initiative, you control the situation because you now have stepped forward while others are sitting back. And so when you see what others don't see, and your purpose to learn what others can't grasp, then you ask the right questions and you move into the right perspective. You never allow yourself to be controlled by the opinions of others or the fear of others. People who take the initiative are not controlled by fear because they step forward in faith and say, this is what needs to be done, and they move into action. And once you move into action, folks, others will follow. So people living with initiative, they see the mandate of this hour matters, this moment matters. Seeing the moment is what matters. John 11, verse 7 to 10 says, Jesus was walking with his disciples and they said, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected and said, Rabbi, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? See, this was fear they were gripped by. Jesus saw an opportunity to go back to Judea for many to be saved. And they're like, no, they nearly stoned you there. It's fear. And Jesus replied, and here it is in John chapter 11 and verse 12. There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is a danger of stumbling because they have no light. And Jesus was saying, seize the moment, use the time. You don't know when darkness will come upon you. We don't know how quickly the spiritual darkness will consume society. So we've got to work vigilantly, work with determination, work with expectancy during the light, which is the day, which is the time we are in. And if we use the analogy of darkness, we can all recognize, even these days, that the sun goes on for so long, but then when it drops, all of a sudden you're like, what happened there? When I was overseas and we were going from a conference center, and the sun was setting there about 9:30 at night. It was eerie, but it was 9:30 and the sun was still, you could see it still in the distance. And so one night we decided to walk back from the conference center. We took taxis the other time, but this night we came out, it was bright. We're like, let's walk. So we started to walk. Well, we always took taxis. We didn't know where we were really going. We knew where we should be, but we had an idea. So we were like, oh, it's so bright, let's walk. And as we're walking, the sun just went, Then all of a sudden we realized, we don't even know the street names. We don't even know where we are. Because when you're in the light, you can find your way, you can navigate. But when the light is gone, there is no more navigating. There's groping, there's fear, there's anxiety. And so that is why we have to be very vigilant in these days, because darkness is coming upon society, and we must hasten to accomplish whatever we are doing. And if we are not looking observantly, we're not watching expectantly, things will happen and we just get caught off guard going, what happened? I hear so many Christians going, can you believe this? I'm like, sorry, what part of this do you not believe? Have you not read the back of the book? Like, didn't he say these trials and tribulations will come? Didn't he say in the last days, diverse things are going to happen? Didn't it say that iniquity shall increase? Didn't it say these things? What planet are we living on if we think we're going to go back to Manana? We're going to drink coconut water and swing from some hammock. That's not where we're going, folks. It's increasing day after day. Iniquity is abounding, but the Bible tells us that when iniquity abounds, the Spirit of the Lord shall what? Wax mighty. Well, who's he going to wax mighty with? People who are in the moment. Got to seize the moment. Be ready. I'm going to get very serious with God in a few years. Oh, wow. Tell me something I don't know, because I don't know what promise you have that we don't have. Every day is a gift from God. Every moment I have is a gift from God. And we got to, as the church, be living it out. I love how they used to say it back in the old days, and I don't have it for script, but they used to say something like, till Jesus comes, or as Jesus comes, what was it? Sorry? Till Jesus comes. I'm going to do this until Jesus comes. And there were other sayings that you use, right? Help me remember, even I'm forgetting them. But there was an expectancy that we're living in a time and a moment that we don't waste it. So what do we do? God gives us time to use. Use it well. Use it for good. Use it for his glory. We sang blessing and honor and glory and power. Use your time also for his glory, because time is given to us so that the master is pleased with us. As well, he will bless us to bless ourselves, but also he blesses us to bless the world, to bless others, to bless the kingdom of God. Using time wisely is essential. And when we're engaged in God's work, we take the initiative to bring people to Christ, to show people to Christ. There's no excuses about doing it. We just take the initiative. There are times we're like, oh God, I can't do anything. Everyone can take the initiative to do something for God. You've got a gift somewhere in you. If you didn't have a gift, you'd be dead, because you wouldn't be working, eating, or nothing. Everybody's got a gift. Some people use theirs for evil. We must use ours for good. But everyone has something. We can do something significant for God now, especially when we recognize that there is no time left to be wasted. No time is left. Whatever that thing is, simple or great, we need to be doing something. One writer says, great things are not started by great people. Great things are started by simple people who desire to do great things. Great things are not started by great people. Great things are started by simple people who desire to see great things. If you desire it, you're going to move into it. If you never expect, I can't do anything great, why not? Why, are you dead? In the grave, we can do nothing great. But as long as you're alive, you can do something great. Now, we look at the famous people, and I'm going to tell you about a few of them before I go into use a Bible text to bring us around. There are many people who are famous, but they were still simple people. Simple human beings who allowed God to use them mightily. If you ever read the story on evangelist Billy Graham, you'll see he was just a normal man preaching. And he preached very small messages, small places, before God just exponentially blessed. And wherever he went, it was stadium driven. He held large indoor and outdoor rallies with sermons that were broadcasted by radio and television, some still being rebroadcasted in this 21st century. He preached to live audiences of 210 million people in more than 185 countries and territories throughout the world. And his forceful preaching was a simple message. It was, anyone who repents and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Those of you that are younger, Billy Graham would come to Toronto, rent the stadium downtown. They'd have great worship, and then he would get up, preach the simplest of message, and say, anyone who desires to be saved, come. And the place would throng. And the rest of us are like, I preach that every week. Haven't you not? I preach fire and brimstone some weeks. But God is the one that chooses how he will release. We just make ourselves available. You don't know. You don't know who God is going to use you. Someone prayed for a Billy Graham, and they didn't get the Billy Graham credit, but Billy Graham has loosened thousands and millions that are now doing the work. Reinhard Bonnke, a German Pentecostal, was an evangelist and a missionary in Africa from 1967. And in the first years of his work, Bonnke encountered poor results from his evangelistic efforts, and he felt frustrated. He was frustrated at the pace of his ministry. He claimed to have a recurring dream featuring the picture of a map of Africa being spread with red, and he heard the voice of God saying, Africa shall be saved. But for years, he saw nothing. Dim results, small results, and then one day, exponentially, millions started to be saved in Africa because of his ministry. Folks, there are times when we want to see the result now, and we miss what God wants to do because there's a process that God uses. We just need to take the initiative to step into what God has called us. I love this lady because my life, my ministry, everything about me comes out of this woman's ministry that died years before I was even on the scene. A Canadian-born girl named Amy Semple McPherson in the 1920s. She had married a Pentecostal missionary, ended up in Hong Kong, where her husband contracted malaria and died while she was pregnant. She returned to Canada, ministered across the nation, and God touched her life with the power of healing, deliverance, and salvation. Imagine coming home from a country you went to where your husband died within the first year, you're home with a baby, and now God is using you to heal, to deliver, and to bring people to salvation. Her messages and her gift of faith, it captivated people's hearts. In fact, local newspapers would acclaim her and report about her. And the reason I can tell her life story is I studied it, and when I went to Bible college, I wrote a paper on her because I had firsthand reporting from people who were saved and healed and delivered in her ministry. My home church, Evangel Pentecostal in Montreal, was birthed out of this woman showing up to do revival services. And the revival services were so powerful that they packed out the little church and then they rented the theater, the old Drummond Street Theater, and packed it, they said, two floors every night. And she would go to the top floor and preach, people would be saved and healed. Then she would go down to the lower floor, people would be saved and healed. It got so potent, so powerful. This simple woman who had lost her husband at a young age, after only not even a year in China, and now she just made herself, she took the initiative to still continue to praise God and serve him. And folks, here's what happened. They will tell you even newspaper stories. It said that her ministry became so powerful, her faith was so strong in God, healing was so prevalent that the Montreal Hospital, General Hospital, the porters at night would bring the beds down with sick in it and bring it into the bottom of the Drummond Street Theater. And at the end of the night, they would see the porters bringing the empty beds back up the hill to the Montreal Hospital. It's in newspapers. I did my paper on it, interviewing a number of people who had seen this. They're all dead now, but I was able to interview them in my own home church because we were like second generation after what happened. And when I took that paper to Bible college, my professor kept the paper. Back in those days, we didn't have the computers like that. We typed. They kept the paper. He said, this goes into archives, because rarely do you meet anyone who's met someone who's seen it. Folks, I don't ever want to lose what her initiative gave. And you should never lose what God has given you. If you've touched somebody who's touched, if you've touched somebody who's been through, if you've touched somebody who knows how to pray, then learn learned to pray like them. I'm always being asked, why do you pray like you do? I pray like I do because there were women in my church that came out of Amy Simple McPherson's ministry. And when those women prayed, heaven broke open and power fell down. So you know what I did as I worked for Air Canada? I was an executive dressed up going downtown Montreal. It was a privilege to be a young black English girl in Montreal being in the corporate office of Air Canada. So there was a status to be held, and we had to work hard and diligently to keep our job. I worked in the marketing department, and I'll tell you, we were the strategy department. It was the key of the company. Everyone fought to get in that department, and I fought to keep my position. I was an English girl, so I had to work harder, and I did everything doubly. But on a Wednesday night, I told them, I don't care what project is on, I got to get to prayer meeting. Folks, you can ask even Air Canada folks if you ever meet them. I would not give up a Wednesday night. Why? Because Wednesday night, I needed to get beside those people who could pray. And there were women there that came out of that revival. I would rush. There was a bunch of us young people. We would rush and fight each other to get next to them. And when we got there, we'd get there early because we knew where they would sit. And we would sit around them. And I'll tell you, you've heard me say it before. There was one firebrand named Mama Siskel. When she prayed, whatever she prayed, I said, yes, Lord, that's exactly, yes, God. I just prayed what she prayed. She spat it out, I regurgitated it. You can do that. You know what, folks? After a while, I didn't have to be sitting by Mama Siskel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because it got inside my spirit. But I took the initiative to say to a workplace that demanded your time and attention, where people fought like cats and dogs to get position, where they would stab you in the back if they got an opportunity, I took the initiative to say, my prayer night counts. I won't give that up. But you know what happens when you do that? Some of you are afraid to give up a minute at work for God. When you do that, not a devil in hell can touch you. Can I tell you, whenever they had problems, do you know who they called on? They would come over, they call me the priest. They say, Priest Miller, I got this and I got that. I got this big presentation and I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me? I had VPs coming from the 24th floor. That's where they were. And they would come down and they'd be walking by my desk, and I know what's going on. They got some big meeting in Ottawa and they're looking for me to say hi. And so they'd come by. So, how are you doing today? And all the place, this is truth, folks. The other workers would be looking, going, what's going on? They'd be like, so, you doing okay? Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to Ottawa this week. Okay. Can you say a prayer? Sometimes they'd say, would you talk to the man upstairs for me? If they caught me in an elevator, you've been talking to the man upstairs. And they'll make jokes. They made a lot of jokes, folks, but the joke was their way of reaching out. Not everybody who makes a joke about God is joking. Take the initiative. I made sure that what mattered was I've taken the initiative to show people that God counted more than my workplace. Somebody say amen. There's so many examples. Rick Warren, you've all read The Purpose-Driven Life? He's just a simple author that wrote a book trying to help his church figure out how to make life work in the kingdom and to have purpose in your life with God. And what happens? That book now has sold over 50 million, translated into 130 languages, and he's considered Time Magazine's list of most influential people in the world. All he did was use his gift to call people to Christ and to encourage people to use their gift in a matter in a way that matters. Nick Gumbel, the writer of Alpha Course, they just wrote this course so that people would understand God and understand that Christianity and the truth. And if you've not taken the Alpha Course, you need to. We call it here first Beginnings 101. If you don't understand the fundamentals, take the initiative to do something for your soul. Initiative is what you do when others won't do it. Oh, but nobody else is doing it. That's why you do it. Hello, folks. When nobody else is doing it, what do? When everybody's doing it, what do? Find something else to do. We are creatures of habit. If we see everyone doing it, we're like, everybody's doing it. Well, it's done. When no one's doing it, take initiative. That's when you show who you are. Young people, AI is coming, and everybody's going to be copying, getting it to write their papers. I'm warning all of you in this church, don't you do it. You university students, but I could get an A+. Yes, and when you get a job, you get a D+. Because nothing is up here. And please don't be my doctor if somebody wrote your paper. Start with what you're naturally gifted at, and then watch what God can do with your talents. And when you use humility and passion, everything works. So folks, look around, and even look through history. Do you know that God uses simple people to do great things? And if you don't allow yourself to take initiative, it's like, well, if God wants me to do some big things, then God should do something. I'm sorry, God's already created the world, and he put you in it, created you. I mean, come on, that was a job all by itself. Your talents, your gift, everything you do should matter. Do you know our own Pastor Ruby here? Pastor Ruby, they were at the old church in Oklahoma, on Oklahoma Drive. Pastor Harold, when they moved here, wanted to see a daycare started. They were doing an after-school program, and he said, Pastor Ruby, you head up the daycare. She didn't have a clue about how to run a daycare. Do you know that the daycare that we have here is an award-winning daycare in the city? With a wait list that is exponential. Why? Because she just took initiative. You know what happens? You know what I love about this message? When you take initiative, you learn to trust God more. Because guess what? When you think you know what you're doing, you just do it. But when you show up and go, God, I gotta do this. You know what? Every day, God, I gotta do this. Oh, Jesus, you gotta help me, Jesus, because I don't know how to do this. Do you know, I've preached crusades around the world, and people are like, how do you do it? With prayer. You think I get up in some country where they, in Sri Lanka, they translate me in two different languages, okay? I'm going, and the Lord said, I'm going, what did he say? It throws you off. I have to go in deep prayer. Oh God, help me to stay focused and not listen to the translators. In Uganda, they translated me in many languages. I'm like, oh God, please help me. You take initiative and you pray. It makes you pray. You want to know why you don't have a strong prayer life? Because you're not taking initiative to do something where you got to rely on God to help you. Did I say that well? Okay, let me say it nicer. If you take a little initiative, and then you mix it with a little prayer, and all of a sudden you will take a bigger step, and you will be so excited to try a bigger prayer, and then you will see God do mighty things through puny you. Okay. Start with what you've got. Just for the sake of time. Greatness is achieved when you honor your talents. There's a story in 2 Kings 11, verse 1 to 12. And this was a shy young woman. She was the daughter of a king. And they had 70 boys in that kingdom. When you have 70 brothers in a kingdom, you're non-existent. But then there was a wicked king, 2 Kings 11, you could read that later. A wicked king, Athaliah, mother of King Uzziah, learned that her son was dead and she began to destroy the rest of the royal family. But Ahaziah's sister Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaziah, infant son, Joash, stole him away from the rest of the kids who were about to kill, put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom, and they hid him from Athaliah so the child did not get murdered. He remained hidden in the temple for 6 years, and then while Athaliah ruled over the land. A wicked queen, her son was a king, Ahaziah, and he got killed. And so this wicked queen decided to kill every one of the sons that could inherit the throne, and she sat on it instead. But there was one sister who said, there's one little boy they didn't find yet, and I'm going to take a risk. Initiative requires risk. And she took that baby boy. That's why I said use your shyness. She took that baby boy and hid him and his nurse in a room. How do you hide a baby for 6 years? You see, I say use her shyness. You know why? She must have been a quiet, timid type. And she went and hid the child. Because see, I'm not that type. I'd be like fighting the queen. What do you mean? I got this boy. You take the boy. You're going to have to come through. Like, my first response is bring it on. Right? In fact, we're joking because I now, you know, animals and children take after you. My little puppy is now barks down big dogs, and people are like, she's like you. The bigger the dog, she's like, you want a piece of this? You want a piece? Little thing. Folks, God uses personalities. She must have been a shy, quieter type that could keep a child hidden and both of them keep their mouths shut. How do I hide a child? You would be hearing me you're laughing too hard. You'd be hearing me because I'm a different personality. So whether you're shy or you're brazen, God has something for you. But she had to take the initiative that she would risk her life. One woman stood up, took the risk for a ruler. And then what happened? When she hid the child, the Bible says, after that, the priests and all the people in the kingdom began to protect her. When you take initiative, those who want to do good will step in with you. They may not know what to do themselves, but they will step in with you. They'll step up with you. Be creative. Do you know what is funny about creativity? Taking initiative requires risk and it requires creativity. But do you know that there's a lot of people using their initiative and their creativity for evil? You know, all these scammers, do you know they could be owners of companies? Because their scams are good. Is there anyone here you almost got scammed? Like that one was so good they could have caught you? Let me see your hand. Come on, be real. Right? Come on, folks, let's be real. One caught me, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I had come in from overseas. I'm jet lagged. The phone rings. The year before, I had my card scammed in London airport. I guess as I'm passing someone, read the card thing. That was before I had it in the case. And so I knew that they could scam you. And I'm just flew in. I get a 6 o'clock call, ma'am. Your card has been whatever, and we want to get you a new card, but you have to get your identity. So I said, oh no, they did it again. Because I'm half asleep. I said, oh no, they did it again. And said, yes, ma'am, it's been done again. See, they even pick up quickly on the word. And I went, we're going through the conversation, and then they said, okay, so we need your card number so we can shut it down. I said, and then I woke up, I went, well, if you call me to tell me my card scammed, why do you need my number to shut it down? That would have caught a senior or someone who doesn't know. Folks, do you know that's ingenious? They even have better listening skills than the church. Because we do announcements and nobody remembers what we said, but this guy, I just said they did it again. It was like, yes, ma'am, they've done it again. I'm amazed at people like that. But they're never going to become great. There will be thieves all the days of their life. They'll die in thieves, and their children will never inherit anything good. But if you take a little initiative, your greatness will come into a path where generations, you know why I told you the stories of Billy Graham? Generations now are the Billy Graham salvation recipients who are now pastors around the world. Those who have taken the Alpha course have come into the kingdom because a man decided to write it. They're little, those are the big ones, but whatever little you want to do, great things are not started by great people. Great things are started by simple people who desire to see great things. And so if you use yours, use your boldness. I won't go into this second story. You know it well anyways. David and Goliath. When David showed up, what was all of Israel going? Look at Goliath. Did you remember the story? Those of you that don't, you should know it. You should. Even if you're new to Kingdom, they have movies on it. 1 Samuel 17. What do you think the Transformers are built off? David shows up when all of Israel's going, it's a giant. And David's like, that's an un. I just did a trini. That's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's saying, that's a puny little no God protector that I'm going to take down. Here's the only part of the story of boldness I want to use. Jehosheba hid the child with her shy, quiet, able to do something in sereneness. One end of the spectrum. David comes up going, hey, Goliath, I got a slingshot and a stone. You know what Goliath said? Who is this dog coming to me? And you know what you never do to a bold person? Never insult them. If you want to put fuel to a bold person, insult them. Say they can't do it. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? If they say you can't do it, what you gonna do? I might have missed before, but now that you said I'm gonna miss, I ain't gonna miss. Folks, whether you're on this side of boldness or this side of shyness, take initiative. Whatever it takes, do something for the glory of God. Here's what I want to close with, worship team. Mother Teresa says this, if you can't do great things, do little things with great love. And if you can't do little things with great love, then do them with the little love. And if you can't do them with little love, then do them anyways. Love will grow as you serve people. You can take a shot of that one. Just hold it on the screen for those who want to take a shot of that, please. If I don't have Mother Teresa there, that's Mother Teresa. That's her statement on initiative. God help us. Lord, we've used every excuse to tell ourselves that we're not the one that you're calling. We're not the ones you will use. We're not the ones who can make a difference. We're waiting for somebody else to show up. And you, Lord God, you're waiting for us to step up. God, it takes our first step to do something that matters, and then you will exponentially bless it. Because you gave us wisdom. You gave us knowledge. You gave us grace. You gave us the ability to think. You gave us every tool we need for us to take steps to do something for the kingdom of God. And so, Father, I pray people, oh God, would not live in fear or live only for themselves. But we, Lord God, would take the initiative to do something great for God. Our great has different levels and different measures, but it's still great when we do it for you. So, Lord, I pray for this entire congregation of people and those online, that even those online would awaken their souls and say, God, what can I do? What can I do? Who can I speak to? Who can I touch? Who can I encourage? Who can I say a kind word to? Who can I share my story with? Who can I lay a hand on and pray? Who can I just remind that I'll be praying for them, but I'll pray it. I will do it so that they know they can count on me. Oh God, help us We want to be great, but greatness requires that we take the initiative to do great things. And great things begins with little things. So, Father, I pray for every person in this congregation that we would change. That, Lord, we're about, oh God, to establish something in society that makes the world know our God is God. And Father, it's going to take all of us. So help us to step up to the plate. The world is laughing at the church, and we're not a laughing stock. We are the children of the Most High God. The world thinks the church is dead and dry. It's not dead and it's not dried out. It is alive and well, and it's vibrant and fervent. So help us to gain that vibrancy and fervency in our lives, that those we encounter will see something is different about us. Put a holy confidence in your people, that Lord God, we would walk by faith and not just by sight. We'd walk with strength in our hearts and recognize the favor of the Lord is upon us. And God, whom you set free is free. So Lord, let something new happen in every heart and every life. We cannot, oh God, be just seen as those hiding under a bushel. No, we've got a light to shine in the darkness. God, cause people to let their light so shine that people will glorify their Father in heaven. So we thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Would you today just stand with me for a moment? They're going to sing this song, This Is Our God. But as they prepare to sing this song, would you this morning make a determination, God, help me. Help me to use my talents. Whatever your gift is, we are all gifted differently. What's your gift? Would you ask God right now as you're standing, begin, just ask God, help me to use my gift positively and use it for your kingdom. Some of you are using it negatively. You know, there are people who have the power to persuade. So instead of using it to persuade people about God and things that matter, you use it to manipulate. There's so many different things in us. And God has given us all these great talents. But we have to be purposed to use them for His glory. Online, this is for you. What are you personally doing to advance God's good news? The good news of the kingdom of God. What are you personally doing? When are you going to stop telling us stories about why you can't and who you are? And start telling us why you can and who He is. Let me repeat that. When are you going to stop telling everyone about why you can't and who you think you are or think you're not? And start telling people who your God is and recognizing why you can. So right now, with every head bowed, would you just begin to say a prayer and ask God? Not my prayer, it's your prayer. Online, it's your prayer. In-house, ask God, God, use me. Use me, God. God, you are such a mighty God. Use me. I don't want to stumble in the darkness. There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people walk safely. They can see because they have the light of the world. But at night, there's a dangerous stumbling because they have no light. There are people stumbling all around the world because they have no light. You could be the light God has put in their pathway. Would you ask God, use me to be the light? I don't care how you do it. I shared with you, when I went to the police, I didn't go like some blazing Holy Ghost pastor like I do in this pulpit. I went as a simple person that cares for them, and I just shared a good story and then prayed for them. Would you do something so that your life is significantly changed so it changes others? Now, God Almighty, be pleased, oh God, with what we're about to attempt. As people take initiative, and the initiative is honoring you and doing the best they can to take a step forward in the kingdom, would you, oh God, pour your power into it. Lord, Billy Graham took a step and you poured an anointing. Amy Semple took a step. She didn't come home and just lock herself down in a basement and cry about her loss. She stood up and you poured out. God Almighty, may we see similar blessings upon your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
we hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.